The Tom Woods Show, episode 1010.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
BuzzFeed says, if you've never heard of Ebates before, get ready to make some easy money. You're already shopping online anyway at a variety of merchants. Might as well earn some cash back. Check out Ebates, and if you refer just two people, you get 50 smackers. Check it out at tomwoods.com/ebates. Hey everybody, Tom Woods here. I'm here talking to Michael Heiss today of the Libertarian Party Mises Caucus. And I will be talking to him about what that's all about, what his ambitions with it are, how you can take part in it. But in general, what we're talking about here is the direction of the Libertarian Party. Where is it going to go? And of ultimate importance, what kind of candidates is it going to produce? You can write all the statements you want, but what really counts is what people see when they think about the party and when they see the party featured in the news and so on. What do they see? Who's the public face of it? And that's, by and large, whoever the presidential candidate winds up being. So on what basis should that decision be made? What kind of principle should be front and center? These are the sorts of questions that are occupying the mind of Michael and his many colleagues in the Libertarian Party Mises Caucus. And there is a way you can take part in that that we will talk about toward the end. But right now, let's talk to Michael Heiss. Mike, welcome to the show.
It's good to be here, Tom. Thanks for having me.
All right, let's talk about this Mises Caucus you got going over here. First of all, what made you decide to jump in here? Did you have a history with the Libertarian Party?
Not too much history with the Libertarian Party. I mean, I started taking the Libertarian Party seriously after Rand Paul's campaign fizzled out. I was supporting him, and I was a big, big, big supporter of Ron Paul in the 2012 election. And I got involved with the Libertarian Party and started thinking strategically about the value of debate access and all of that sort of thing, our presence and our platform. And that's the sort of thing that made me get really excited about the potential of the party and what we could achieve in the future.
If you're talking that way, that means you must have been in some way dissatisfied with the present makeup of the party, at least in terms of either the leadership or, more importantly, the ideas, the platform, the way they're being presented. What is the primary problem as far as you see?
Well, there's a concerted effort to water down the message and to make it more, in their minds, appealing to the masses and make it less controversial and easy to accept. So there's a concerted effort from certain parties within the party to achieve that watering down to the point of where they want to change the statement of purpose and the platform itself.
What kind of directions do they want to go with it?
Well, the joke we make is they want to make it the Bill Weld party. there's already some talks that Bill Weld might be putting out a exploratory committee for a presidential run. And I think most people who were involved, Bill Weld was just the worst thing that could have happened for who was running and who was representing us and representing our message. There's a little bit of a philosophical difference where those of us who came to libertarianism through the Ron Paul campaign, I think we're the type of people where it's most important to us, first and foremost, to inspire people in the message. And if votes come our way because of that inspiration, good. But there seems to be another philosophy that treats this as a numbers game and just getting votes and politics as usual. And I don't think that's the sort of thing that brought most people into the libertarian message.
Yeah, I don't think if, in the unlikely event Bill Weld were to be elected, there would be any movement on any of the major issues that concern me the most. When I think about it, there'd be no major. You think there's going to be a major foreign policy shift under Bill Weld? Give me a break. You think there'll be a major monetary policy shift under Bill Weld? Don't make me laugh. And you go down the list. And the funny thing is, I have to repeat this, Mike. I make this point a lot, but it bears repeating. On the one hand, we've got people who lecture me from their perch as, you know, these supposedly open-minded, cosmopolitan, leftish, fashionable-style libertarians, and they're always hectoring me because I'm a stodgy old right libertarian, they say. But on the other hand, when push comes to shove, I'm the one who's always endorsing the radical candidates, and they're the ones, the fashionable types, the ones who want to be chic and with the times and everything, they're the ones who always endorse the stuffed shirts like Bill Weld. That's weird. Isn't that weird?
I think it's weird.
Shouldn't I be endorsing the stuffed shirts and they should be endorsing the radicals? What the heck's happening here?
I think it's a little weird to a lot of people who have that philosophy of inspiring people and wanting to be legitimately different and legitimately shake up the system and legitimately change things. But there's, again, a very influential group of people who think that that kind of quote unquote radicalism is too extreme or embarrassing. And it seems to me that there is a concerted effort to lock up the identity of the party prior to the next election cycle. Because, you know, people who didn't follow the election cycle don't realize that for all his flaws, Gary Johnson came very close to getting in the debates. They don't realize that Gary Johnson has a lawsuit with the debate commission that's bearing fruit. There's already been a federal judge that has ruled that the debate commission was acting in a nonpartisan way and not a bipartisan way. So a lot of people who don't realize that the party legitimately is growing. The number of registered libertarians has continued to grow in the aftermath of the election cycle, even though the number of paid members has gone down, the number of registered libertarians has gone up. So those are all things that, in my mind, point to the idea that they may very well get debate access next time around. And that, to me, is very important. That's one of the, you asked me, you know, what caused me to get in. The idea of a Bill Weld being the entry point on the world stage, the national stage, as this is libertarianism, you know, Bill Weld being the opening out of the gate, Bill Weld is the one representing libertarianism, and this is how everyone's going to view us. That to me is just something that I can't allow. Having experienced the Ron Paul campaign, having experienced that, and just being active in this community for going on 10 years now, and seeing what gets people going, that I just can't allow that.
The Weld thing is very interesting to me. I actually grew up in Massachusetts, and I lived there when Weld was governor. And I was more or less a supporter of Weld as a, you know, whatever, 18-year-old kid or something. But what I recall this past time around is that even though I disagreed with a number of the Gary Johnson supporters, nevertheless, almost all of us agreed we were unhappy with Bill Weld. I mean, yeah, there are a few weirdos who thought, you know, this guy was a big deal, but you know, come on, as I say, on the big issues, as opposed to trivialities that don't matter at all, he's a disaster. And so we all agreed Weld was no good, but the Gary Johnson people thought, well, look, you know, we want Gary Johnson. This was an unfortunate appendage here, but we're still going to support Gary Johnson. But if there is no Gary Johnson and it's just Bill Weld, I wonder if even some of the Gary Johnson people will balk. Although if they were Gary Johnson people, I don't know if they would shift their support to a more radical candidate or if they just hold their noses and go for Weld. But I wouldn't say it's a home run or a definite.
Yeah, I mean, again, it goes back to this philosophy. Bill Weld was very uninspiring to people like us, where the message is so important. But he was seen as a success in the eyes of some of these people who want to water down the message, because he did bring in some money and he did bring in perceived legitimacy because he is a two-time governor. And that's the way that these people operate. It's a little bit more of politics as usual from this particular crowd than from the more ideologically focused crowd.
Right, right. Well, so, all right, let's talk about the actual caucus here. What exactly does the Mises caucus intend to do? You've drafted a platform that lays out where you stand. What comes next? We'll talk about that platform in a minute, but I want to just get a sense of the overall strategic plan.
Well, like you said, or like you asked me earlier, you would ask me what caused me to jump in. And this strategic idea of control of the platform, or control of debate access, and the identity of the party moving towards that. The point of the caucus is we're basically vying for, along with other caucuses, for the direction that the party is going to take. So you have the Radical Caucus, which is comprised mostly of anarchists, and we consider them an ally. I would say our differences with them are mostly strategic. Their platform is a lot more expansive. They cover absolutely every issue in detail. Ours is a little bit more ambiguous. But then you have...
Well, hold on. Let me defend yourself. I wouldn't say ambiguous. I would just say more general, because I read your platform and I don't think there's anything ambiguous about it. So I don't want you to inadvertently be putting yourself down.
No, what I mean is they literally go by issue and cover absolutely every issue.
Yeah, they're extremely specific, right.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have the Pragmatist Caucus. That is filled with people who are more of the, we'll say, want to make the party like the Bill Weld party. So moving forward, our first call to action that we're doing to kind of rally people is to vote for new leadership. You know, there are leadership. There is people in leadership who are of the Bill Weld ilk or who don't represent the message in a way that we like or we are used to. So we want to make it more Ron Paul and less Bill Weld. So pushing forward with that message. And we're also trying to bring in the crypto community, the cryptocurrency community, because we feel that cryptocurrency is a free market manifestation of some of these ideals. It's a people's currency. Now, we can have the debate on whether it's backed by anything or not, but in my opinion, the subjective theory of value makes it so that it is money because the market is deciding that it's money. I mean, there's tens of millions of people who are using it as such, and, you know, yes, many are holding it as an asset, but that's part of the game of something going from a commodity to a currency is the speculative value in the run-up. So that's the general outline. We want to change the direction of the party in a more radical, more Ron Paul, Austrian tradition way.
I've recently looked at the Libertarian Party platform, and I know that in the past it was more radical than it is now. But when you look at it, apart from a few changes that I would make, it's not terrible. It's not what a lot of people may think it is. It's actually pretty good on foreign policy and on a lot of issues that are important to us. So it's actually not bad. The problem here is that if you were to ask their nominees about, this is just, you know, the Republican Party has the same issue. You ask the nominee about the platform and it's like you let off a stink bomb or something, you know, or you're not allowed to ask that question. How dare you ask me about my own platform? They know nothing about it. They're not interested in it. They have no desire to defend it. So that's more the question. So now you've got a platform, I think, primarily for the purpose of working out what you want the direction of the party to be. Not so much that you necessarily feel like the existing platform is the worst platform in the world, but the point is it just sits there and it results somehow in the nomination of Bob Barr, Gary Johnson, and potentially Bill Weld. And I guess you want to do something about that.
Absolutely. I mean, when you sign up with the party, you have to sign a pledge to adhere to the non-aggression principle. And it's kind of unbelievable when you think about that, some of the candidates that have come through, like you just said. The platform for the Libertarian Party, if anybody reads it, I think generally speaking, they're going to feel at home with the platform. So it's a shame that it's not upheld as strongly or used as the primary focus for a lot of the candidates, because it's not a bad platform, but again, it's bumping into this different philosophy of what the party should be about. Should it be about inspiring people and that inspiration producing votes, or is it about just getting votes by any means necessary? If you are ideological and you want to inspire people, it's a great platform. If you are more into politics as usual, then it's going to be something that's more in the way.
What can you tell me about this libertarian? Oh, by the way, let's say something about, at some point in the future, I don't know exactly when, there's going to be a ban on the use of the term Libertarian Party in the names of these caucuses. What's that all about?
So this was proposed by the Bylaws Committee at a recent meeting. And what's really interesting about this is there is a few members on that Bylaws Committee that have proposed this in the past, and it was put to a vote by the Libertarian National Committee, and it was overwhelmingly defeated. Now they are trying to introduce it again in a way that circumvents a vote from the Libertarian National Committee, and instead it's going to be put to a vote by the delegates at the National Convention in Louisiana next year.
All right. So obviously, if that goes through, you just take Libertarian Party out of your name. But it reminds me that there's another
caucus. I don't know that I would take it out of the name there, Tom.
I think you wouldn't.
No, because, I mean, it would exemplify everything that's wrong with the party. I mean,
But wouldn't you be penalized in some way?
Well, they would have to attempt to sue me, but I think it's going to look really bad when the party that got 3% last year is suing its own members.
Well, I mean, the Republican Party allows the Republican Liberty Caucus. There have been no lawsuits there, and everybody seems happy enough. So it seems like it should be okay for the Libertarian Party. There is a small caucus that's gotten attention out of proportion to its numbers. You already know where I'm going with this. What is this small caucus, Mike?
The Libertarian Socialist Caucus.
Yes, there is such a thing. There is such a thing. And then they claim that the originally libertarian meant blah, 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 and now we're going to reclaim it and this and that. And these people are they're fun to watch. They're fun to read. So one of these people who's well known in that caucus was apparently calling me a Nazi. And so somebody said, well, I hate to trouble you, but could you name one thing that he's ever said or believed that would have anything whatsoever in common with, of all people, the Nazis? And the guy responded, somebody sent me the screenshot of this. I mean, the guy is off his rocker. He replied, look, sir, and by the way, I assume he speaks this way, so just forgive me, I'm using one of my voices. Look, sir, we don't have any Nazis around anymore because it's not 1930s Germany, so the word has moved on. So it means people like Woods, so deal with it. What? So now the rule is words mean whatever a guy in the Libertarian Socialist Caucus says they mean. These people sound like a ton of fun.
Yeah, it's pretty unfortunate that they're there, but it just represents the overall direction that the party, some members of the party, are trying to take that is wrong. I mean, obviously that is a farce, and they're trying to say, oh, well, libertarian socialism is a thing, and you know what, it is a thing, but my argument is that thing is just a result of the freedom of association that freedom provides. There's going to be all kinds of, in a free society, there's going to be all kinds of expressions of the freedom of association and this or that. So if we're going to get into the business of picking and choosing what forms of freedom of association that the party is going to represent and endorse and all of this kind of thing, then you're going to have to accept all of them or none of them. So you're going to have to accept the anarcho BDSM caucus. You're going to have to accept that all the way up to and including the people, the very unpopular people that I think we can all agree don't fully represent the message of like an ethnically homogenous community, like a gated community based on property rights. So if we're going to have one, you got to have the other or none at all. Of course, nobody would agree that showing support for people that want to have an ethnically homogenous community is a good idea. So it shouldn't apply to them either.
So what is it then? What's the very next step for the caucus? You've written up this platform. You have a robust Facebook community. You're doing good work on social media. What is the next step? Are you waiting for the 2018 convention?
Well, that's going to be where we attempt to make our first big strike. I mean, right now we are in the process of, you know, getting people involved, getting people with influence involved, and trying to find candidates to run for these positions on the Libertarian National Committee that are run by people who want to make it the Bill Weld Party. That's the first big goal, is to make it so that the Libertarian Party is libertarian again. And that's going to have to be done with the vote at the convention. So, you know, I was at the Nexus conference in Aspen, Colorado this weekend, and I got to talk with a lot of people with a lot of influence who were very supportive. I mean, Ron Paul himself was supportive. I got to talk with Judge Andrew Napolitano for 15 minutes, who was very supportive. Different members of the cryptocurrency community, like Roger Ver, were very supportive. And these people are all now contacts. And these are the kind of people that I want to bring into the party and to elevate the party and elevate the discourse. I mean, and I don't think it's going to be too bad. I mean, look at the level of discourse that you just described coming out of the Socialist Caucus. And I would argue that there's places in leadership where the level of discourse isn't too much better. Or hasn't been, or the strategy is much less than inspiring. It seems to me that there's certain elements that are adopting the tactics of the Democrats last year, who not only lost, but lost to Donald Trump. So I don't understand why they're doing that. So, you know, there is an optic out there, and I want to clear this up too. There is an optic out there that the Mises Caucus is simply a reaction to some comments from the chair of the party about a certain institute that we are all fans of. And that's actually not true. It's not true. I mean, I certainly benefited from the fallout of those comments and the reaction of those comments, but I would invite anybody to do a Facebook search for hashtag Mises Caucus, and you'll see this is an idea that I've been kicking around for months before this happened. It was just a coincidence.
Well, now, hang on a minute, Mike. Believe me, I understand the problems with leadership and so on, but the trouble is, I think even if you just replace one or more people at the top, you still have a substantial group of people ensconced within the party who want a Bill Weld. No matter what the leadership says or does, and no matter what the platform says, they want Bill Weld. They want safe, tame, basically status quo politics is what they, as far as I can, because that's what you'd get with Bill Weld. Not a whole lot would change, and these people are happy with that. So how do you address that, given that even if you dealt with the leadership, it's like in our country right now, even if you changed the president, the rot is so deep. You see what I mean? That just the one change isn't going to be enough. What else can you do?
Well, we are looking at more than one position on the Libertarian National Committee that we would want to get candidates for. At the end of the day, it is a political party. So they vote on resolutions and they vote on party business. So the character of the people that we have in there is very important when you think about those votes, and you think about that this group of moderates wanting to vote to diminish the platform or diminish the statement of principles. So we just have to have the number of people on the committee to be able to counteract them. And then in addition to that, you know, while they may not be super powerful in terms of party business, positions like chair and vice chair are pretty unanimously seen as the face of the party. That's who people are going to look to, especially in these off-term years, for what the party is about. And that's who is going to be the most probable person nationally to inspire people or unite people and all of that. So that is also of great importance.
All right. So give me some final thoughts about where the caucus is going, where you hope it'll take the party, what your plans are, anything you feel like you can disclose without giving away whatever juicy stuff you have up your sleeve.
Sure. Well, back on episode 997, you had talked about the state of the libertarian movement and how you were a little down about the state of things. And anybody who experienced the Ron Paul campaigns understands that it was absolutely electric in our community for a year and a half. There's a lot of people who have come in and did not experience that, and they don't know. They don't know that we were a well-oiled machine for a year and a half. They don't know that we were unified, that we didn't fight all the time, that there wasn't all these hyphenated anarchisms that people describe themselves and used as lines in the debate. There really was a community of on-fire people that were changing things and changing minds all the time and working together for common cause, and that's what we want to bring back. So between that and the cryptocurrency community, we think we have a winning combination. So in the future, what we want to do is change leadership. We want to make the party a more hospitable place for people like that, and to bring in the Judge Napolitanos and the Ron Pauls and support from them and what that would do to the party and how that would elevate the party. But moving forward beyond that, Tom, and I'm going to invite your audience to join me on this, is I know you've said that you would never do it. It would be useless misery and all of that kind of thing. But like I said earlier, I really think the debate access thing is important. I think it's there. In fact, I don't think we would have had a Ron Paul revolution had he not been in just the primary debates for the Republican Party. So I want to invite your audience to help me grow this caucus so that we can make it hospitable for people like you to run. I want to harpoon you like a whale for the next 2 years, because I think the role of a presidential run in the Libertarian Party has a specific role at this point in time in the party's history when it doesn't have a lot of political capital. And I think I would agree, and most of your audience would agree, that you are absolutely perfect for that role of educating people, of bringing people together, of absolutely smashing the status on national television in front of everybody. Imagine Tom Woods on a debate stage with Donald Trump and, I don't know, Elizabeth Warren or something. It would be a massacre. So that is my long-term goal, is we want to draft Tom Woods 2020, and I invite your audience to help me in this campaign to harpoon you like a whale for the next 2 years to that end.
Okay, and then I would urge my audience to do nothing of the kind, but nevertheless to assist you, because what you're doing is very important. Tell me what the difference is between your Facebook page and your Facebook group.
Well, honestly, the page, we haven't really even gotten started. And that's what's so shocking to a lot of us in the what we call the committee of the caucus, is in a lot of ways, we haven't even gotten started yet. We wrote up a platform. We still have to write up bylaws. We're still collecting delegates. And it's been about 7 weeks. We have 1,800 members and 150 people who have expressed interest in becoming delegates. And there's only going to be roughly 1,000 of them. So that is substantial progress.
I would like, I like that group, by the way. I'm a member of that group, so I'm going to help you. I presume you'd like to expand that group?
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to need your audience to harpoon you.
Well, at the very least, I am hopeful that some people in my audience will join the group. And I will link to the group at tomwoods.com/1010, but I will also, let's see, how about this? I'll devise this redirect so people can even bypass that. So they don't have to go to Facebook, type in, forget that. tomwoods.com/caucus will take you right to that Facebook group. Wow. And that's, now caucus, so maybe there are a few people out there who don't want to admit they can't spell caucus. C-A-U-C-U-S. So tomwoods.com/caucus. As soon as you and I finish talking, I'll set up that redirect, and that'll take people right to that Facebook group. There's strength in numbers, and I'm quite certain the Mises Caucus would appreciate seeing some of those numbers pour into that group. So there it is. Well, best of luck with 99% of what you're doing.
One final note, though, is that if people are going to join, it's critically important that they re-register as libertarian, because we're not going to be able to be delegates and we're not going to be able to win this fight if they don't do that.
Ah, excellent point. Excellent point. So if this is a battle you want to be part of, then make sure and take Mike's advice on this. That's very important. You got to do that. Otherwise, it's going to be in vain. All right. Well, that's the link, tomwoods.com/caucus. Any other links I should give out? Probably focus on one link, I think.
Well, we have the Facebook group, the Facebook page, and then you could also follow us at LP Mises Caucus on Twitter, which is run by our committee man, Sterling Reese.
Okay, so those things will be linked at tomwoods.com/1010, and you can get all of it there. All right, best of luck, Mike, and hope this conversation we just had gives you a boost. Good luck.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, that's our episode for today. Now, for tomorrow, we got a little bit of an unusual guest. I have never in my life allowed anyone to write in my name. I am much, much too much of a control freak for that, to let somebody else write under my name. Not going to happen. Absolutely not. However, I do sell some products, and I have a product for which I needed some sales copy written that I thought would be better than any sales copy I might write. So I went to the guy I heard was the best, and I asked him to do it, and of course I paid him, and the results have been excellent. But he is a brilliant guy in a bunch of areas, not just because he owns and reads Tom Woods books, although you certainly can't discount that when judging the overall merits of the guy, but he's brilliant in so many areas that I'm just going to leave it there. You're going to benefit so much. I mean, the fact that there's only one person on earth who I ever have allowed to write in my voice and to basically be writing for me, this sales copy. There's only one person in the world. There must be something about this guy that is unusual and really awesome. He's the sort of guy who he utters three sentences and it just changes your whole life and you've learned a tremendous amount and you can't even finish listening. You got to go out and do some new thing. He's that good. So you're really, really going to enjoy episode 1011 coming at you tomorrow. See you then.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.